Disneyland, measles, conspiracy theories, vaccinations, and presidential politics. Here's Kentucky Senator and medical doctor Rand Paul on CNBC.
I've heard of many tragic cases of walking, talking, normal children who wound up with profound mental disorders after vaccines. I'm not arguing vaccines are a bad idea. I think they're a good thing. But I think the parents should have some input. The state doesn't own your children. Parents own the children, and it is an issue of freedom.
The idea that measles would return in unvaccinated populations because of a belief that vaccinations cause mental problems in children is a political issue once again. This 2015 argument about vaccination as a possible cause of autism and about government control over families was seeded by a 1998 study published in a very well-regarded journal by surgeon and medical researcher Andrew Wakefield. Despite the passions of hopeful parents, researchers who tried to replicate the study failed to find any link. Skepticism about Wakefield's claims mounted until a 2004 investigation by the Sunday Times of London found Wakefield had fabricated the entire study with a financial motive. And as we hear today, this did not end matters. Joining us is Brian Deer, an investigative journalist for the Sunday Times of London. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi there, John.
Do you think the Wakefield study is the parent of all the controversy that's going on right now in U.S. politics over the vaccination question?
I do, because what happened was it triggered the scare in the UK. The United Kingdom doesn't export much these days, a bit of pharmaceuticals, financial services, and a bit of defense equipment. But one of the things it has exported twice in recent decades has been scares over vaccines. Back in the 70s and 1980s, a scare was exported from London about the safety of the diphtheria tetanus pertussis vaccine, which turned out to be a complete red herring, although it triggered all kinds of problems in the United States. And then in 1998, the Wakefield paper appeared in The Lancet and essentially re-exported the same scare, but this time concerning the measles, mumps and rubella vaccine, MMR. So these scares can be traced back directly to the United Kingdom and to the particular circumstances, the legal circumstances, the media circumstances that exist here.
Is there something about the autism question that inflamed the way in which the Wakefield study was taken into popular discussion, in that parents were desperate to find out what was wrong with their children? Medical science didn't have much of an answer, and that in this particular case, it took on a life of its own, even greater than what might have been the case in the diphtheria experience a decade earlier.
Well, I think that's the way it is, isn't it? It's that these neurological issues that tragically emerge in children obviously do emerge at the same historical period in their lives that they're being vaccinated. So when somebody comes along, a doctor comes along and says, you know, I think it could be the vaccine that causes autism, and autism, in as much as we understand it to exist as an entity, because it's a bit of a construct, in as much as it exists, medicine and science don't have answers for it. So you have a ready group of parents looking for answers. And what we had placed into the mix here in the United Kingdom was a massive publicly funded, taxpayer funded lawsuit that was going on behind the scenes that ultimately, at today's conversion rates and values, involved about $56 million being spent on trying to work up a case that the MMR vaccine caused autism. And we had an injection into that of this claim by Wakefield, who in fact we discovered was working for the lawsuit, claiming to have made prima facie evidence of a link between autism and vaccines. And so the autism issue, because it's so complicated, and you have so many parents out there looking for answers and rushing to look at their children's medical records when somebody comes along and says, well, could it have been a vaccine, that you get this explosive mix. And of course, the other thing we've got today that we didn't have in the DTP thing in the 1970s and 80s, we have the internet. So these parents can quite often go searching for answers and get caught up in all the wrong sources of information.
Did Wakefield exploit these parents? Did he manufacture science? Did he distort existing science? How would you evaluate
it? Well, that would be what I say. The British General Medical Council, who took away his license to practice medicine, found him guilty of four counts of dishonesty involving his research, including a dishonest description of the children enrolled in it. And they also made a finding that his own lawyer described as fraud. Then the editor of The Lancet itself, back in 2010, withdrew his paper, calling it the most appalling catalogue and litany of some of the most terrible behaviour in any research. And then the British Medical Journal in 2011, its editors described Wakefield's work as elaborate fraud. So it's not so much what I'm saying. I mean, I'm relaying to you what a range of experts have said. And all that follows one of the most detailed and evidenced investigations in the history of medicine.
Why do you think there are people out there, even listening to this segment, who will take all of those arguments and go, well, that's the conspiracy?
Well, that's the nature of it. I mean, there are people who are out there doing that. And those people today, as I say, about the internet, we have this issue that people like that can find each other, just in the same way that people who believe that Barack Obama wasn't born in the United States, or who believe that the US government was responsible for the World Trade Center collapsing. There are people out there like that. But what you have in this particular case as well is you have a number of people who claim that the thing has been scientifically verified, when in fact it hasn't. So you're kind of in this position where anybody who comes along and tries to challenge these arguments gets accused of being involved in some dastardly conspiracy. I'm accused of being involved with the drug industry. I mean, Wakefield himself went on CNN and said that I was being supported by the Association of the British Pharmaceutical Industry, a body I've had no dealings with in like 25 years when I last asked them for a press release over something. So these kind of things take off, and you end up into that kind of conspiracy theory environment, and science so often goes out the window.
Then how do you explain the fact that Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, who is a medical doctor, persists in this notion of normal children wound up with profound mental disorder after vaccines, as though that's a cause?
Well, I think, you know, without getting too political about it, I do think you find that on the conservative right, you find people who are inclined to want to take a pop at the government. Because when you think about it, vaccines, which everybody has, and which in the United States CDC speaks for the safety of, and FDA speaks for the safety of, these are arms of government, and there are politicians who want to take a pop at government. I think Rand Paul's mistake, and the mistake of a number of others, like Governor Christie, have made this mistake, is not really understanding that there could hardly be a topic involving family life where their electorates are so united in their conduct. I mean, there was a bit of a straw in the wind. There was a seat came up in the Connecticut House of Representatives during the midterm where this issue became an electoral issue, and the conservative Republicans and the Republicans generally came out, as they have across America, have came out very forcibly to support vaccinations because they know that's what their constituents do. They vaccinate their children. They listen to doctors. And it's interesting, I mean, perhaps Rand Paul is not an ideal example because he is a doctor, but I personally believe that the people who are most likely to shun vaccines are people, I mean, the classic would be residents of Marin County, California. They are people for whom it is important to believe that they are smarter than doctors. I mean, some of them may be smarter than doctors. You never know. But they're people for whom it is important to them to believe that they are. And that's not a left-right thing. It's quite often quite an upscale thing. Certainly in the United Kingdom, we found that it was in the more affluent areas that vaccine rates declined. I mean, we saw tremendous measles outbreaks across the United Kingdom as a result of this vaccine scare. We saw ahead of the United States what you're seeing now. And indeed, we know that you will see much worse than what you're getting now. I mean, you ain't seen nothing yet when it comes to measles outbreaks in the United States. But it's those people who think and feel that they are smarter than doctors are the ones who shun vaccines. And I find that a very interesting phenomenon.
Brian Deer, investigative journalist for the Sunday Times of London, who investigated the original case of the Wakefield study that was discredited, that described a harm in the use of vaccines in children and a supposed link to autism. Brian Deer, thanks so much.
Thank you.